You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Joining us is Bill Barnwell, one of the best we have here at ESPN. He joins us each and every Saturday at 2 o'clock. Or is it 1 o'clock? It's 1 o'clock. Sorry, Bill.
It happens. It happens. We're all dealing with...
Oh, Bill, it's been a long 24 hours for me. Let's dive into this game. Here's the thing, Bill. I just don't understand. I don't understand why Taysom Hill isn't getting more respect out there. Why isn't Tate, like, I just had this conversation with my producer, Ty, before we went to break. We're talking about, like, landing spots for Sam Darnold and Ty throughout the Saints. And I was like, what do you mean? It's Taysom Hill once Drew Brees moves on. Like, everybody thinks that this is like a gimmick. Everybody thinks this is just like, you know, everyone thinks this is like I'm trying to think of the analogy. Like, this isn't a marriage. This is like, you know, this is like a brief affair. Like, this isn't, right? Like, Sean Payton and Taysom Hill are like this crazy wild affair, as opposed to like a long-term marriage. Why is that?
Well, I think they watched Taysom Hill last week. I mean, Taysom Hill was 9-16 for 78 yards with an interception, and he didn't look better than the numbers. It wasn't like the numbers were bad, but he had some drops and stuff like that. He looked bad. The fact was that on the other side of the field was a wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, who was 1 of 9 for 13 yards with 2 picks. So Taysom Hill kind of got to fly under the radar. So I think, honestly, Anita, this game for Taysom Hill coming up on Sunday against the Falcons, where he's playing a team he just played 2 weeks ago and looked much better against. He was not great, but he was a guy making his first NFL start who moved the ball down the field, was effective as a runner, made some throws downfield, had one big drop downfield, but also had a badly underthrown pass that got caught, so it kind of evens out in the long run, you'd figure. This is his chance to prove, hey, this is not just a total, you know, like you said, small affair, short affair, a total sort of gimmick offense that teams are going to figure out pretty quickly. And I'll tell you what, Anita, at the end of the day, we can say whatever we want as analysts. I have my feelings about Taysom Hill. I'm skeptical he can be a long-term starter in the NFL. The guy who believes in Taysom Hill more than anybody else is Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And if it comes down to it, if it's my opinion about Taysom Hill versus Sean Payton's opinion about Taysom Hill, I would not fault anybody for taking Sean Payton's side. He has earned the benefit of the doubt, hasn't he?
Absolutely. So this is, follow me here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both in agreement, and I would imagine that, you know, you feel the same way I do, that I think Sean Payton is one of the best offensive minds in the business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Knowing that his team with Taysom Hill was going to face the Atlanta Falcons twice in the matter of 3 weeks, I think that there is a bag full of Taysom tricks that we have not seen. Do you know that there was only 2 designated rushing plays that were called in for Taysom Hill in that first game against Atlanta? Only 2. He still rushed for over 50 yards, but that was creating, you know, getting away from, you know, plays breaking down. But like 2 designated rushing plays were called in. I think that tomorrow is going to be a totally different game plan than what Atlanta is expecting. And also, I'll go one step further. Because the situation presented itself at Denver with them picking up a wide receiver off the practice squad to come play quarterback for them and knowing just how great their defense was, I think Sean Payton used that game like a pitcher uses spring training. I think Sean Payton used that game against Denver to try some stuff out and just to see, you know, just to work on stuff offensively, because he knew that their defense is just so damn good that there was no way they were going to lose to Denver with their quarterback situation. And so I think he used that game to try some new stuff with Taysom Hill.
I like this theory, I have to admit. And I'll tell you what. There are coaches in the league where we do this sort of like skullduggery, you know, like they're just setting them up kind of thing. And they're just not that smart. They just don't figure it out. But one of the coaches who is smart enough, where I would give him the benefit of the doubt here, is Sean Payton. And I think I could absolutely see that being the case. And I think the other thing that comes into play here is that even though Taysom Hill is a guy who is, I think, 30, he's either 29 or 30. He's not, you know, a 21, 22-year-old fresh-faced prospect. This is still a very inexperienced quarterback. And I think we can make the argument that Taysom Hill is, you know, a gimmick, or that teams are going to get film on him and get used to him, and that may be true. But there's also a valid, fair argument to say that Taysom Hill's going to get better at executing stuff as he gets more experience. This is a guy who had only thrown a handful of NFL passes before these past 2 weeks. So, you know, would it be shocking if he got better as a quarterback and got better at sort of the more traditional stuff and sort of, you know, kind of got to look past some of the things defenses were doing to try and trick him? I think absolutely that's not out of the question. So, you know, I am skeptical of Taysom Hill, I have to admit, but I think you make a very valid point. I think the arguments for Taysom Hill are meaningful, and I think there's a huge range of outcomes around that game on Sunday. Taysom Hill could be an absolute joke and get benched for Jameis Winston. That's still out of the question against the Falcons. Or he could be great, and the Saints could be the best team in football, which is what they look like over the past couple weeks or past few weeks with Drew Brees or Taysom Hill at quarterback.
Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All I have to say is that my Taysom Hill fan page site is gonna blow up tomorrow around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm gonna be selling Swiss Army knife T-shirts, everybody. So you know, make sure you log on. What besides that? Because for me, the 1 o'clock games, that's the game that intrigues me the most. Yep. Obviously, you can hear it in my voice. give me another game out there this week that you know that you're looking forward to, and what you feel the biggest storyline will be in that game.
Okay, what about Rams Cardinals? I mean, this is a game where even if you think the Seahawks are the favorites in the NFC West, I think they're in great shape if they beat the Giants and Colt McCoy on Sunday. They'll be 9-3. Rams Cardinals, I think, is a really fascinating matchup because we've seen both these teams look incredibly impressive for stretches this year, and we've seen them just look awful. And last week, we got more of the latter. Kyler Murray really got shut down by Bill Belichick. Jared Goff was a mess against the Niners most of that game. You know, when you have Sean McVay coming out after the game and blaming you for losing the game by not protecting the football, it's pretty telling. I mean, he has defended Jared Goff up and down over the past 3 years. When he's been bad, he has not blamed Goff, and he went out and actually absolutely blamed Goff for the reason they lost that game against the Niners last week. And I am really intrigued to see what happens with Goff, how he bounces back. I know the Cardinals are a very blitz-heavy team. Jared Goff is not always the best quarterback against the blitz, especially if those blitzes do get home. And for Kyler Murray, I mean, this is a guy who was a MVP candidate a couple weeks ago, where he looked like he was going to be, you know, a absolute top three MVP candidate after that Bills game. And then he wasn't all that great against the Seahawks, and he was bad against the Patriots. And he did not do enough to win that football game, and they got a little bit unlucky. They got stopped at the one-yard line. They had a missed field goal right at the end of the game, and the Patriots came down and kicked the game-winning field goal after a questionable penalty. But Kyler Murray is not in that discussion anymore, and we know he has a reported shoulder injury. Not clear what the severity of that injury is, but I think this is his stretch to prove that he's an MVP candidate. He has the Rams, the Giants, the Eagles, the Niners, and the Rams again over the rest of the season. Not a necessarily very tough schedule, but a bunch of games in the NFC West where he can prove he can lead the Cardinals to either a division title or a shot at a division title. He can be in that discussion. He can prove, hey, you know, it wasn't just a Hail Mary. It wasn't just a hot game here or there. You know, I'm a sustainably great quarterback. So I think both the quarterbacks in that game have a ton to prove, and I think I want to see how they respond to how they played poorly last week.
Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Bill, before I let you go, not sure if you were aware, if you saw social media, but I have spent several hours on our ESPN NFL playoff machine, and and I have both the Philadelphia Eagles and the 49ers advancing. The 49ers getting in over Arizona as a wild card, and the Philadelphia Eagles winning the division still, as horrible as they are. Big reason why is because Daniel Jones and his hamstring issue. I'm going to have Stefania Bell on the show at 2 o'clock in a little over 45 minutes, and we're going to do a deep dive into Daniel Jones' hamstring issue. Mm-hmm. I think the Giants will be lucky if they get him back by the time they take on Cleveland. And in order for the Giants to truly win this division, they're going to have to win two of their next five. And unless Daniel Jones gets healthy quick, I just don't see how they're going to do it. Have you spent any time on that playoff machine yet?
I have. I spent time on the playoff machine. I spent time on the upshots model. I mean, I'm looking around, and NFC East is wide open. You know, it really is just a total ball of chaos. I really think it comes down to who's healthier. I really think that's going to be the biggest difference as it gets to the end of the year. And the Giants, they have lost Saquon Barkley. They have lost Xavier McKinney for most of the season. Of course, they just lost Daniel Jones for a week or two. But, I mean, the Eagles have been destroyed by injury. Carson Wentz has been destroyed in the process. And Washington, I mean, you know, they obviously have some injuries to some of their key players, but Alex Smith is playing well. You know, I think if the Giants don't get Daniel Jones back for a couple of games, or at least three of those five games, I might lean towards Washington just being the healthiest team standing in this division at the end of the year. But I am very excited for that opportunity when we get to January, where it's going to be the four-seeded NFC East champion at home versus the fifth-seeded maybe Buccaneers. Who else would it be? I guess Buccaneers are probably the favorites to be the five seed now. Maybe Rams, maybe Vikings. Going to be a very fun game to bet on, that 4-5 matchup.
That's for sure. Bill, thank you so much. Always great to have you on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Anita. You as well.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.